Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Are you excited about relationships this morning? It's a subject it's been on my heart the last week, I would say. I've had a burden on my heart to speak to the youth, and I've been asking some of the different people, some of the different youth, what are some things that youth would like to hear about. And I have a little list, and relationships is kind of as far as I think I'll go this morning. So I trust it's a message that can benefit and bless every one of us, but it's specifically geared toward the youth. Why don't we all kneel together and pray, those of us who can? Our Father in heaven, we just come to you in Jesus' name this morning. We thank you so much that we have the blessing of having a relationship with you. Thank you for washing our sins away and restoring us into fellowship with you. And Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus that you would come and you'd have a blessing for everyone that is here this morning, and especially the youth. Lord, as we look at this subject of relationship, I just ask that you would inspire us to move forward in this area. Lord, if there's different needs that are present among us, I ask that you would speak to those needs and bring direction and guidance. Lord, I don't know all the people's hearts. I don't know all the families. I don't know all the needs, but Lord, you do. And so we just bring this time to you, that ask that you would speak to us personally. Just guide the things that I share. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can you imagine a world without relationships? Can you imagine that? Adam experienced it very briefly, a world with no relationship with other people. He had a relationship with God. But imagine this morning, zero relationship with God, zero relationship with anybody else. What would that be? Could you live with yourself? I'm not sure I could. That'd be pretty hopeless. Relationships are one of the most exciting things that God has given us, I think, in our everyday life. There's tremendous blessing in relationships. But with that, relationships are often some of the biggest problems that people experience in life. With relationships. So it can be either one of the biggest blessings that we have, or it can be one of the biggest problems or the biggest source of disappointment and sorrow and grief and all those things. So this morning, I don't think I'll be sharing a lot of new things, but I just want to talk about it and bring it to our mind, stir it up within our hearts, that we have this within us, that we want good relationships and that we'll do what it takes to have that. We're willing to pay the price. The first part of the message will be our relationship with God. That is, first of all, the most important relationship that we can have. And for the youth, It's a new relationship that you have. It's one that's growing. And this is a couple things to consider. And I'd just like to really get you youth all to be really excited about your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. That's my goal. And again, I trust this can be a blessing to all of us but it'll be geared toward the youth. All right, so what is a relationship? If I put that word in front of you, what do you think of? What comes to your mind? Maybe last the youth. What do you think of as a relationship? What is that? How would you describe it? Communication? Connection? It's a really good one. Any other words? Reciprocation? Very good. Reciprocation. Do you have a definition for it? Yeah. So in other words, I give something to you, you give it back. It's a two-way street. Communication, yes. So there's actually kind of two different meanings to the word relationship. The one is this connection, this going back and forth. The other one is almost like the word compare. So how big is a sun in relation to the moon? And you know, if you stop and think about it, in our daily walk of life, we're always kind of comparing ourselves. Like, okay, who am I? Who are you? And then how do we relate? And as youth, I would say that's something that's changing for you. As a little child, you're a little child. And now you're growing up and you have lots of good thoughts and ideas yourself. You know a lot. You can read your own Bible. You can draw your own thoughts out of it. And you're starting to relate to other people in a different way because of that. And it can be hard for you to find your place of being at the right place and to have that right relationship with your parents, with other people, with people in church. So we want to talk about some of those things. But this is, I think it's one of the things, one of the reasons that relationships can be difficult for youth is that you are changing and you're growing and you're becoming a man or a woman, and that part of how you are compared to other people is changing. So I have a really exciting new relationship in my life. It's a little girl, and she's around 7 weeks old, and at this point, you know, she likes if we talk to her. She smiles a little bit, and she's, even at that young age, she's reaching for a relationship with us. That's really beautiful, and just like to encourage that. All right, Enoch. Enoch is a man who walked with God. So when you consider our relationship with God, I think the first thing I want to bring out is that we want to be people who are walking with God. So how do we do that? What does that mean? Why don't you turn to Genesis chapter 5. And we'll just read verse 22 and 23. Now, it's interesting, in this passage, it does not give us a whole lot of detail about what this means to walk with God. Very little, actually. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So it's interesting, he talks about here that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. I'm not sure what happened before that. But it's interesting that the name Methuselah means his death shall bring. In other words, Methuselah's name was almost like a prophecy. And it seems like God came and revealed himself to Enoch in a special way here. I'm not sure why else you would name your son that. His death shall bring. And it was a prophecy, and Methuselah actually died in the year of the flood. And because of his name, I believe he died before the flood began. It doesn't actually say that he perished in the flood. I think he was a godly man. So this was God coming to Enoch and almost giving him a prophecy that when his son dies, that something is going to come, something's going to change. But through this, Enoch walked with God. What does it mean to walk? In this context, I would simply say it meant to go with God, to walk with him, to be with God, just to be with him. It's not Enoch did everything just perfectly, although he probably did. But in this context, the walking is simply means to be with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So here it gives us a little bit of a clue about Enoch. It actually says that he pleased God. Now, for you young youth, how many of you can honestly say that you know that God would say, "I'm pleased with you"? That can be difficult, can't it? Is God pleased with you, youth? Is that something that we have a desire for, right? How many of you youth would just be just so pleased if God would say, "I'm pleased with you"? How many of you? Right? That's something that we deeply, deeply desire within our hearts, that we know God is pleased with us. And what does it say here? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So are you doing that? Do you have faith? Are you coming to God? Are you believing that God rewards you if you seek after him? I think that's something important for you as youth to have within your heart, your mind, knowing that if you seek after God in faith and in truth, that God is pleased with that. I don't know that we should necessarily all walk around and pat ourselves on the back and say, "Yeah, God is pleased with me." I don't know that we should get to that place. And yet we can see clear things in the Bible that says that God is pleased with this. And we need to follow after that and strive after that. And we can find a rest in doing that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As something that is so precious for you as youth to hang on to and to grab a hold of, that if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, that we can be pleasing to God. That's what God desires from us. That's what God is calling us to. So what does it mean to follow after the flesh rather than after the Spirit? What is the flesh? What is the Spirit? Sometimes that can be kind of confusing. And I would just describe it as this, that walking in the flesh is doing the things that we naturally desire to do that are against what God has plainly told us that he wants us, right? So if we feel like telling a lie, and we just go and tell a lie, and we become a liar, is that walking in the Spirit or in the flesh? It's walking in the flesh, right? We know it's very clearly stated that we shouldn't lie, right? That's clear. And so if we go ahead and do that anyway, we're walking in the flesh. And when we do that, we come under condemnation. But if we choose to, rather than following what we just naturally want to do, we follow what is in the Bible, we follow what God wants us to do, that's walking in the Spirit. In a sense, it's fairly simple, right? It's fairly simple to walk in the Spirit. On another hand, sometimes it can get kind of confusing. But just have that in your mind that you want to walk after the Spirit, because if you do that, you'll be pleasing to God. What are some practical ways to walk with God? So before I go into the practical ways, I just want to put some conditions out for walking with God. Now, the practical ways only work if our heart is at the right place. So in other words, some of the practical things are things like reading the Bible, praying, that type of thing. But if your heart is not at the right place, you reading your Bible is not actually walking with God. you coming to church and sitting here with a smile on your face is not really walking with God if your heart is at the wrong place. But if your heart is actually at the right place, those things are walking with God. So it can be kind of confusing sometimes. Okay, what does it actually, you know, if reading the Bible isn't walking with God, then what is? Well, it's all based on where our heart really is at. All right, we need to have our heart full of faith and love. We believe everything that we know from the Bible. We believe all the history. We believe everything that it says about our condition as men, our sinful condition. Everything it says about Jesus, that Jesus came to die for our sins. Everything that the Bible says, all its prophecies, all the direction that is given in here, things that we need to walk by, we just believe and accept and receive all of that. We have our heart surrendered and made a choice to follow and obey God. We actually have to have that within our heart. We've made that choice day by day that we are going to surrender and do what God wants us to do. There's nothing that we are choosing to neglect or disobey. And then we've confessed our sins and been born again. If all of those things are in a good place, these practical things that I'm going to talk about are walking with God. Does that make sense? All right. One of the first ways that we can talk with God is, or walk with God is praying. It's actually talking to Him, connecting with Him. You spend time just opening your heart before God and praying to Him about your own needs. You pray for yourself. You pray for God's kingdom. You pray for family, church family, neighbors, widows, widowers, orphans, people who have lost loved ones, missionaries, governments, sick people, hungry people, people in prison, people who are lost and in need of salvation. Pray for God to send workers into the vineyard. The list can go on and on for things to pray about. I don't know, do you sometimes run out of things to pray about? I'd encourage you to make it a point to open your heart to the needs that are all around us and pray. Pray, pray, pray. As you're doing that, you're connecting with God and you're walking with Him. Praying is a pretty easy thing to do, right? Doesn't cost a lot of money. It's something that you can just go off by yourself and spend time praying and getting to have that relationship with God build up. Study the Word. You memorize it. You read it to other people. You discuss it. This Bible is a tremendous way of walking with God. How well do you know your Bible as youth? In your youth is when you get to, your mind actually expands a lot faster than it does when you're my age. I'm still pretty young, but for me to memorize something is way, way harder than it is at your age. And it's easy for you as youth to focus your attention on things of this world. You focus on trucks. You focus on big equipment. Girls, I don't know what all you focus on, dresses and clothing and shopping, and I don't know. But it's easy to focus on a lot of things around us. And now is a tremendous time for you to really be digging into the Word of God and getting to know Him and building up that relationship with Him. So that when you get older and your mind doesn't memorize as good anymore, that you'll have a solid foundation of knowing what the Bible says about things. I can't stress that enough, how important it is at your age to be digging into the Word of God and getting to know it. Singing is a tremendous way of walking with God. Remember David. David was a shepherd boy, and his job was to take care of the sheep. Now, can you walk with God doing that? You're out in the middle of a field, and you have to take care of your sheep. Is that a good time to walk with God? It is. Just singing and encourage you, write songs. If you look at the book of Psalms in here, there's a nice amount of psalms in there that were written by David while he was out as a young boy tending the sheep, and then later in life he had made it a habit of writing psalms. And to this day, they're a tremendous blessing to us. Imagine if we just take the book of Psalms and just take it out of our Bible, we wouldn't have it anymore. We'd lose something, right? For you youth, this is a good time in your life to be engaged in singing and praising God. It's a good way to walk with God. All right, Noah. Noah was another man that walked with God. Wow, we're at 11:15. Have to keep moving here. All right, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Why don't you just turn to there? Let's look at Noah just a little bit. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, as we consider how things are going in this world, you youth, you only have 20 years, maybe some less, some a little bit more, years that you've been here on this earth, and you've seen some changes. I've seen a lot more change than you have, and the people who are older than me have seen a lot more. And the way that things are going in this world is going right back to how it was in the days of Noah. And if something that I could just really emphasize to you this morning is that you have this, that you are going to walk with God in the middle of a sinful generation. As time goes on, it's the way it seems according to prophecy, there's going to be less and less people who are actually serving God. And it seems that the rate of, or the amount of wickedness in this earth is actually going to increase. And for you youth, you have to have this, that you're going to walk with God. God is looking for another generation to be faithful. How can we walk with God? Noah was the only perfect and just man in a world full of corruption and sin. And his life actually testified against the world. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that we must not be conformed to this world. Or in other words, we don't think and act and be like this world. First Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3, it talks about us, like if we walk like the world, it means that we're carnal. We must have this choice that we have made to not walk like the world. We must be separate people. How can we be a Noah in our generation? Do we think like the world? The world is completely selfish and everything revolves around gratifying the desires of the heart and mind. There's a lifting up of self. You can be whoever you want to be. For you youth, it might be hard for you to recognize that pattern running through all the things that the world is doing. Once you get older, you can see that thread, that pattern running through everything that the world does. It's all about self. It's all about gratifying our own desires right here and right now. And today there's a big push for youth to be able to be whoever you want to be. It's a rebellion against God. We have to have that surrendered heart where we seek after God and decide that we're going to be who God calls us to be. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I remember as a youth sitting on the pews out at Panile, and there's one older preacher that we had. His name was Dave Hirschberger, and he was pretty old. And it seemed every single time he'd get up to preach, he'd talk about along this line of not seeking after the world, not following the things of this world over and over and over. At the time, I probably didn't appreciate as much as I do now. But youth, it's very important to see underneath the surface and see what's going on underneath the rebellion and the drive for sin and for self. And just make it a part of your heart and mind that you will not be a part of this world. Yes, we live here, but we're not going to follow after it. All right. What about relationships with parents? I'd like to put this question out this morning to you youth. How is your relationship with your parents? This can be one of the greatest blessings in your life, your relationship with your parents, or it can be kind of a sore spot. And it's difficult. Because when you're young children, you tend not to see the shortcomings that your parents have, and I guess I'm allowed to say that, that the parents have some shortcomings. And some of what you see is not actually a shortcoming. It's you perceive it that way, but it actually isn't. But you start seeing things that you would do differently for youth. How do you relate to that? That could be a challenge, right? What does the Bible say about that? How do we relate to parents that we perceive to not be perfect? How do we relate to that? Does the Bible give us some loopholes that we don't have to honor and respect them? Anybody know of any scriptures like that? It doesn't. And I just want to lift it up to you, youth, this morning, that if there's some of that going on within your heart where you're finding it hard to relate to your parents, do not draw back from them. Do not distance yourself from your parents. But honor them. And if you have areas in your life where you feel like you can grow beyond where they are spiritually, I'm sure they don't mind that. Go ahead and do that. But do it in a humble and a meek way. And do not lift yourself up as being better than your parents. I know that's something that tends to happen. And I hope it's not that way here. I'm just putting this warning out. And if you see tendencies of that within your heart, I ask you to just think about it. That you are called as youth to honor and respect and obey your parents in all things. And your parents are there, they're taking care of you, they're overseeing you, and they desire to have a good relationship with you. And one of the hardest things, I think, for a parent is to see a child drawing away from them. And as I look back over my life, I know I did that to my parents, where I just kind of drew back from them. It's a regret that I have. In your relationship with your parents, don't ever draw back. Don't ever feel like that it's not worthy of just being an open, honest relationship with them. I just want to stress that so much. So here's a scenario. You grew up under your parents' identity. Now for various reasons, you are moving away from your parents, changing the way you think, the way you act, the things you do, the things you wear. And now you think they don't understand you. And you might have changed some of the way you think and act because of your parents' weaknesses or perceived weaknesses. And I'm just going to put this out there that you as youth are not at a very good place to be judging your parents and being able to know if they're at a good place and if the things that they're asking you from you are right and good. Did you understand that? Do you get that? You as a youth are not at a good place to be a judge of that. Don't be your parents' judge. Sure, as you see weaknesses, be there to support them and bless them. Pour into your parents, but don't draw back. There's lots of things that you feel like you need to draw back from, or naturally you draw back from. Here's a couple. When you feel your parents don't understand, when you feel that your parents don't take the time to listen, when you feel that your parents misjudge your motives, when you feel that your parents have too high expectations, when you don't connect with your parents' convictions, especially when they are different from other people at church. These are some times when youth tend to draw back from their parents. And I'm just here to lift this up as you have a relationship with your parents and you pursue that and you pour into your parents everything, all the energy that you have. You'll never regret that. At the core of a good relationship is unselfishness. And often there's selfishness coming up within our own hearts and we don't recognize that. And that's why we push other people away, and especially parents. And I just want to warn against that. How do we walk with other people? Youth, do you have good relationships with other people? It could be siblings, it could be people at church, it could be neighbors, family. Just a couple quick things. Show yourself friendly. One of the things that is so important, Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How many of you have ever been somewhere and you left and you felt like somebody wasn't friendly to you? How many of you ever experienced that? All right. And in how many of those cases did you go up to that person and shake their hand and were friendly to them? And you still received that. Still had that where they weren't friendly to you. How many have experienced that? A couple. A lot less. You know, if we have that experience where we go up to someone and we're friendly to them and not they're not friendly to us, then I think we're off the hook. We haven't done anything wrong. But too often we want to put that on other people rather than us taking the initiative to be a friend to them. What does it mean to be friendly? It means to be a friend to them or portray friendliness to them. And I know we all have different personalities. I tend to be one that's not just so outgoing and just going out of my way to talk to people. But that's something that I've been trying to cultivate in my life of just trying to go beyond where I am naturally with my personality. But be a friend. If you want good relationships, you have to show yourself friendly to other people. Empathize with their thoughts and feelings. This can be hard sometimes because we can't actually see into other people's hearts and minds. So it can be hard sometimes to gauge what somebody is feeling. It can be hard to gauge, if I do this, how are they going to think about that? If I say this, how are they? And, you know, we can't control all that, but I just really want to put this out. Let's be unselfish in this area and think about other people and think about how will it affect them if I say this? How will it affect them if I do this? If you want good relationships, knowing where the other person is at is so important. And if you are struggling to know, ask. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? You know, one of the foundations of a good relationship is just communication. And when you're struggling to empathize or to be that way, just ask. Learn how to give correction and direction. Now, for youth, that can be a pretty big challenge. How can you, in a very gracious way, in a good way, give direction and correction in your relationships with other people? It seems a human tendency in this area is to, when things come up, to push it away, and let it build up, and then all at once, it hits the last straw, and then you just can't help it, and so you blurt something out, and something comes out of your mouth, and the other person's like, whoa, like, and it can be very hurtful. It's something that there's a huge shortage in this world of people who are able to just go to people and give good direction and correction and say, have you thought about this? And just present those feelings where we hardly dare to give them truth. But have it a place where our own emotions are not wrapped up in it, where they feel like you're coming after them personally. So important. Humble yourself before other people. Youth is a good exercise. Humble yourself before other people. We often think about, we don't want to be proud. And we don't want to carry a proud attitude. But how do you get away from that? We need to humble ourselves. And that means that when other people have other ideas, other thoughts, that you humble yourself and, well, maybe I'm going to consider that. Maybe they are right. And if you say something that's wrong or if you make a mistake, just say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. And the more that you have that in your life where you can very easily just admit I was wrong, that makes for tremendous good relationships. The fact is that if you don't admit you're wrong, other people can still see that you're wrong, and they'll still be kind of like, well, he didn't admit it, but he was wrong. But just be open and humble yourself. I'd just like to put this out. You're responsible for your own actions, attitudes, and words. You're not responsible for other people's actions. And what I mean by that is sometimes in relationships, the other person will respond in a wrong way, and you can easily blame yourself for that. And I think if the other person responds in a negative way, you have to just weigh yourself, your own actions and attitudes, and did I do something that was wrong? Is there a way that I could have done it without making that person feel that way? But ultimately, you're not responsible for the other person becoming angry necessarily. That's their sin. That's their fault. You're just responsible for yourself, but you're very responsible that you don't offend, if that makes sense. That's kind of a difficult to actually portray what I'm thinking there, but sometimes you are responding in a completely right way to a situation and the other person still is completely unreasonable. So, all right. So, let me just go give you a couple keys to relationships. Love. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Humility. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Service. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. But even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. very important in your life that you have the idea and the thought in your life that you are here to minister to other people, that other people are not here to minister unto you. So important. Just think that through a little bit. You can get to a place where everything is about yourself, and in every relationship that you have, you feel like people are having to give to you. And if they don't give to you, then there's something wrong. That's a very wrong attitude. You are here to minister to other people. We're to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. He came down to this earth to minister unto us. He didn't come that we would minister to him. Patience. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Be patient. And then it goes on, see that none render evil for evil. In other words, when someone does evil to you, be patient toward them. Don't turn around and heap the evil right back to them. Don't do that, but be patient. Showing affection or showing love in a visible manner. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Think of the different ways that when Jesus came down, he showed his love in an outward manner. You know, he ate meals with the tax collectors. He washed the feet of his disciples, put his hands on the heads of children, and he blessed them. He fed the huge, hungry crowd. He healed the sick. He didn't simply say, I love, but he actually demonstrated in his everyday life. That's what affection means. You're showing your love in an outward way. When the youth made the meal last Sunday, that was showing affection to your mothers for Mother's Day. So very good. Forgiveness. So important in relationships that you forgive. Think of the story in Matthew chapter 18 of the man who owed 10,000 talents. Tremendous amount of money. So I think this is just important. There are two different currencies mentioned here. One is the pence and the other is the talent. A pence or a denarius is what a person would get for one day's wage. And there was 6,000 of these pence in a talent. And this man owed 10,000 talents to the ruler. So one talent would take a person 16 years to earn the money to pay for one talent. 10,000 talents is 60 million days of labor. If you put that into years, it's 191,693 years of labor. That's the debt that Jesus was saying that we owe to God. And this is so important for your relationship with others, that you have this very deeply embedded upon your mind, the debt that you owe to God. Because if you feel that, and you know that debt that you had to God is completely impossible to pay. Almost 200,000 years of labor, working 6 days a week to pay off this debt. And then the one that owed this man, the brother that owed him, it was 100 pence or 100 days of labor. It was a big debt. He owed him 100 days of labor, and it was a big debt. And sometimes other people owe us a big debt. But in comparison to what we owe to God, it's still so small. And so in our relationships, when people do things, people say things, be quick to forgive. Be very quick to forgive, knowing that you are forgiven so much more. All right, relationship to the church. This is so important. There's different reasons that people leave a church. But I would say a really, really big one is a breakdown of relationship between the people and the rest of the church. It's normally what it boils down to. Yes, there can be issues and different things that come up that people allow to break down that relationship. But it normally what happens, it gets to the place where the people no longer feel connected or a part of the rest of the church, and so they leave. Youth, I really want to warn you, don't let things tear down your relationship with the rest of the church. You know, in a church body like this, there's always differences of opinions and there's different things. But don't let those things tear down your relationship. Don't let it get to a place where you no longer feel connected to the church. You feel like, well, I'm just so different, and then you end up leaving. People who leave in that manner normally don't end up at a good place. You know, sometimes there's reasons to leave a church where a church is going in a wrong direction. There's things that are happening in the church that are against the Word of God, and by conscience you have to leave. I'm not talking about that. But when you let things tear down your relationship, it's a very dangerous place to be. So even if things aren't the way you think it should be, strive to have good relationships in the church. I think I can speak for all us as leadership. We really appreciate the youth that we have here. And we desire to cultivate a relationship with every one of you. Seems we don't always reach around. But I'd encourage you to come to us. Spend time with us. Talk to us. Let's build that up. So again, I just want to lift up this thing about relationships. Anywhere from a relationship to God, a relationship to our parents, a relationship to the church here. Let's strive to make it a good relationship. That's where the true blessing of God is at. Don't let small things chip away at that relationship, but make a choice to go past that. So God bless you.